You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Monday, we continue. My guest today, retired United States Army Captain, Pat Grant, his lovely wife, Patty, and Bob Nielsen all join me today. So all three of them in the Northern Virginia area and the Maryland area. So privileged and happy to have them on. So talk about the recovery. Patty, what happens next? Pat gets back to the continental United States, and what do you do, and what's the recovery like?
Well, Pat started out in the ICU.
Right.
And he was there for about 3 weeks, and it was really unknown if he was even going to survive.
Right.
So there were a hard couple of weeks, a lot of time at the hospital, meeting with doctors, and just his prognosis was unknown.
Right.
He made it out of that window and made it up to the surgical ward and spent a couple weeks up there. And he was finally awake and kind of interacting. He wasn't able to speak or anything, but awake and tracking us and showing that he knew who we were, which was great improvement.
Okay. And so, Pat, let me hold it. So, Pat, what's your first memory after you were wounded?
I can tell you my first thing I remember, and it makes no sense. I remember I was in the Army, but we were in Vietnam. Or not Vietnam, but we were in the jungle. And we were going to go out for like a month. And so I was infantry, and I had a couple of, 30 guys, and we were going to walk. And I started walking, Patty was in the Army too, but she was going to go out to drive somewhere and get some food or something for other people, and she'd be back to where she was living. But I went walking, and our captain was there, and there's 200 of us or more. And I started walking, and I fell down. I was like, huh. So I got up, started walking again. And I fell down again. And then I started walking, and I fell down. And all of a sudden, I couldn't get up. I couldn't walk. And then my captain was just like, whatever, man, what are you doing? What's going on? You need to go. We're leaving. And, he just left. So all my guys left with him. And I'm just sitting there, and I couldn't get up. And I'm in the middle of it, just the jungle, and I was like, oh no, I hope somebody can't find me. Bad people, I'll be bad. So next thing you know, the next guys come with us. They're the ones in C. And so they came walking by, and that was their captain, and he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I can't get up, I can't walk. And the next thing you know, he gets two medics, and they carried me all the way back to the where we were, and I was 5 miles away or something, so they saved my life. But I just remember that's the weirdest dream I had when I was there. I don't really remember. I don't know why, though. I don't know what it means or what it was for, but
well, probably nothing. The your brain probably not operating as advertised at that point. So do you remember the first time you recall seeing Patty or your family, that first memory?
The first thing I sort of remembered is they started getting me, and they would pick me up sort of, and then they would move and sit down. I was 2 inches away, and I'd sit down.
Yeah, the physical therapist would come in.
Okay.
To get him in a chair.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing you remember. The, Patty, must be incredible. I mean, you go from he might not live till you get through that, and then he might live, but we don't know, I was in Iraq when Tim Maxwell was wounded, and I spoke to him 10 minutes before it happened. We were both he was the opso of his MU, and I was working for the division, so we worked together, you know, every day. And I remember when he got wounded, we heard how, you know, the injury was a bad one to his brain. And Roger Turner, who's a good friend of Tim Maxwell, looks at me and he says, he'll be back. And I said, and I looked at him and I said, how do you know? And he said, Tim Maxwell is an animal, man. The guy is an animal. He eats metal, Mac. And I taught Roger Turner. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I don't know how long it'll take. He said, but he'll be back. So interesting. So Patty, you're going through all that. What was that like?
I mean, it was difficult, but I have the same feeling about Pat. He's a really tough guy, right. And I could just make it, you know, live for the first couple of weeks, right. Then we'll figure the rest out. He'll do it. He'll do the rehab. He'll make it back. You know, that was kind of my feeling. So I was very hopeful, in the beginning. We had tons of friends and family around us because we were home, which was awesome. And really the big thing after the surgical wing, once you get up there, they push and push where you're going to rehab because we're at the height of the war and they need the beds, you know? And it was kind of a stressful time. And I ended up what I did because I knew we were going to be in rehab for a long time. I wanted to make a really smart decision. And I went and flew around the country to 5 or 6 different rehab hospitals, including the VA, to decide where, you know, Pat should go. I mean, he has TRICARE. He didn't have to go to the VA. That wasn't his only option. So actually, when I left on my trip for 2 days, Pat actually said his first word, which was crazy because I was gone. We were waiting for like 5 or 6 weeks for him to speak. And his first word was, I'm cold.
What was it?
Yeah, I'm cold.
I thought it was going to be something like, somebody go get me McDonald's. Or something like that. I'm cold. Did they get you a blanket, Pat? What the hell? Why are you cold in a facility like that? What?
Michael, just think for a second. Patty went off on her own to explore rehab hospitals. Think how incredibly smart that is, and there was nobody giving directions on that then.
No, most people didn't do that. They just went to what was close or what was near their house.
Whatever was the next thing, and it was usually down the street to the local VA.
Right.
So you ended up going to Chicago then, right, Patty?
Yeah, we chose Chicago because they had their own brain injury unit. It was a lockdown unit, and the average age was around Pat's age. So I like that.
Right.
They were the pros. So we went to Chicago.
So you're looking for a rehab site. You go to Chicago, and how many years are you in Chicago doing rehab? And what kind of, and explain rehab to me, Patty, for somebody with a traumatic brain injury.
So to me, there's like different kind of stages of rehab. So to begin with, it's called subacute rehab, which is an inpatient rehab just to really get you to lift your head off the pillow and get you upright.
Right.
And kind of to assess what are we dealing with? What is the loss? What is the diagnosis? And that was actually the hardest time for me because when Pat was still and had tubes, we didn't know what the deficits were, and we could be totally hopeful about everything.
Right.
So once all the tubes are removed and the drugs, you start seeing the true deficits and how profound and, you know, intense they are and how do you recover? You know, Chicago was a really hard time for me because it seemed like everything was wrong, and how do you claw your way back from that?
How long are you physically in Chicago?
We were there for 4 months.
Okay, so you're there for 4 months.
It's a very intense rehab. It's 3 or 4 hours a day, and they do speech pathology, They did occupational therapy. Pat's right side was totally not paralyzed, but you could call it paralyzed. There was no movement when we got there.
Of his body, not his brain. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I have an email for you. Hey, Mac. This is an incredible interview. I have kind of a question for both Pat and Patty, as I've never heard an interview done like this. Pat, what was going on in your head as these people are moving around you? Is your brain functioning and you're looking at doctors thinking that dude's got a lot of nose hair or that nurse needs to lose some weight? And yet, but you can't express any of that. What's it like? So you're kind of in this shell and you can't communicate. Could you explain that to us? And Patty, what was it like as you monitor all these outward signs of brain activity, of motor skill functioning, to go through that on a daily basis, not knowing where you were ultimately going to end up? So Pat, the first part, what was it like? Are you looking? Is your brain functioning, or is it kind of gray?
Well, like kind of for me, when I was in Chicago and I was in the wheelchair, and after I had a really good PT, just this one woman was great. And what I started doing, you know, I'd get in the wheelchair and I would start practicing walking around. I mean, I couldn't even do that before at all. So that was really good, but I thought that I was going to go back to the Army. I didn't, right. I for whatever reason, I just couldn't understand that. I didn't know that I was missing half my head.
Right.
Yeah, but I thought, oh, I'm going to go back to the Army pretty soon.
Yeah, I got to get better.
Or I don't know. So right. I didn't get the whole thing that was going on.
Right, so you're kind of focused on what you're doing, and then there's fog that surrounds everything else, it seems like. Patty, talk about what it's like to monitor all those different things and trying to make sure he's getting the care that he needs. Again, not knowing where he's ultimately going to go, because you don't know, you know, how his brain's going to heal and ultimately what's going to be permanently damaged and lost. So what was that like?
It's kind of it's hard to explain. I guess there were days that were super exciting and hopeful, because
right.
you get so excited about the movement of a little movement of his arm, and people would run in circles and high five. So there were days like that. But then there were other days where the doctors would come in and say, "Well, he's not doing this at this point by this month, so he'll never get that back." There was a lot of that a lot of other things that seem hopeless. So it was really kind of a day-by-day sort of thing. But overall, Pat really did make a lot of progress in Chicago, from laying flat on his back, not being able to lift his head off a pillow when we got there, to walking on a cane when we left 4 months later. So
in four months?
Trees there, and the people there were awesome and very hopeful, but It was difficult in the moments where Pat got down, I think, too. Those were the most difficult. I remember one time we had a great view of Lake Michigan, which really saved me, just to be able to go in the hospital room and see Lake Michigan. But he sat in his wheelchair, and sometimes he would just look out at the people enjoying the summer and the boats, and he'd just say, "What are we doing? What are we doing here? What has happened, you know?"
Right.
So those moments were the hardest.
Right. So how long does this go on? How long does your therapy go on, Pat?
We were there for 4 months.
For 4 months. And then at the end of the 4 months, where do you go after that? Do you go home?
We went back to Bethesda in the new Wounded Warrior. No, sorry. Well, I was Wounded Warrior, but I can't say the word. Walter Reed. I call it Walter Reed 2.0 now.
That has never lost a sense of humor.
And I got the, I can't ever say the word, acrylic. I got a new head on the left side.
The plate for his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We love that. So you got a new, better head.
Yeah.
And so this whole process that started 10 years ago, how long does it take before you guys are like in a home of your own and kind of, I don't want to say normal day-to-day functioning, but you guys have your own schedule and things like that?
Probably 5 years.
Wow.
They sent him out to California for over a year just to learn how to be a patient.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What the hell is that? How to be a patient?
It was... This place is in east from L.A. It's called Casa Colina. And I got there in the first month I was in a hospital, and then after that they have a, I can't say the word, what's it called? I went to
apartment?
A bigger house, like a building, and they have like, everyone has like another room with
one
another
person.
It's
like a dorm or a barracks where it's all the transition.
Or a hotel, it's like an outpatient thing.
Yeah, but it's inpatient, really. You live there, and they have nursing and staff there. And then there's a huge therapy room off the side of the building where everyone does all their therapy. But it's, like, a very intense program. It's 5 days a week, 7 hours of therapy a day. And it's also it integrates community reentry. So they're doing things going out into the community and learning how to get around now that you have these impairments.
So, yeah. And I don't know how they did it, but over years they've bought houses that were right there.
Yeah, so they rent them out to the family members. It's in walking distance. So then the homes become a place of rehab, too. So, like, Pat would come over to the house and learn how to do laundry and different things around the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
this is a civilian facility now. This is outside DOD. Patty was smart enough to find this, and they took advantage of it.
Yeah, and they specialize in brain injury, and they really, we weren't the only service members there. There were Marines and Army. There were like 10 or 15 service members there when we were there.
Wow. So, Patty, let me ask you a question. One of the questions that pops into my head now. You obviously got after the research part of doing this. Did people travel a much different path if they didn't do the same kind of research that you did?
Yes. Yes. I mean, most people would go to a VA hospital and maybe spend a year or two there and then transition home, I think. So I think we did a lot of different specialized therapy for brain injury along the way. And we had some great case managers, a great physician that allowed us to do that inside Walter Reed. That really helped us.
All right.
Michael, there's no handbook there.
Yeah, no. So
no,
I'm trying to wrap
brain injury for idiots.
I'm trying to wrap my hands around it. So this is all, you're discovering this and you're finding, you know, the appropriate course of action. When you're in this phase, you're planning the next phase and doing your due diligence.
Yes, they always
and try many to people say, no, you can't do this.
Yeah.
So Patty's got to keep going until she gets the right answers.
Okay.
Yeah, what really I learned was to get Pat into the program first and then ask for funding later. So what I would do is most of these programs actually have application processes and you have to send medical records and do a lot of legwork. So write letters and I would get him into these programs and then I'd get a treatment plan from the program, bring it to case managers, bring it to doctors at Walter Reed, and they really couldn't say no.
Yeah, how do you say no to that?
Yeah, so that was kind of my strategy to go to the organizations first, get Pat in, and then ask the Army to pay for it. And actually, they usually did.
That's not going to be a good headline, is it?
I don't know.
Like, oh, no, my husband's been shot in the head. He's got a traumatic brain injury, and the Army's saying no to me, and this is the best course of treatment for him.
Right.
Those Army guys are smart.
They did the right thing.
And can you imagine if Pat didn't have Patty there helping him?
Well, no, I guess that's the part of this that I wanted to ask her about. Patty, have you gone back? And Bob, you did a lot of work at both Walter Reed and Bethesda to shore up in terms of, I mean, hell, you guys were in the middle of, I mean, there was guys coming back with traumatic brain injuries all the time to educate their spouses or somebody so that they could get the appropriate care that they deserve and need. Give me your guys' thoughts on that.
Patty and Tim Maxwell's wife, Shannon, have created a network of caregivers that talk to each other and share experiences. And when I run into somebody that's having real problems with a spouse or a child that's had traumatic brain injury from combat, I try to get them to talk to Pat or Patty or the Maxwells, because you can only learn from somebody that's been through it. And there is no guidebook. And you might get one person one day in a bad mood, and they give you a whole line of BS. So Patty's got to search all this stuff out. But there's a whole network of brain injuries. And to tell you the truth, the Bob Woodruff Foundation, when Bob Woodruff got that bad brain injury, he's brought a lot of the brain injury patients together. And he's raised money to help fund them getting together.
Wow.
But you've got to have a network of people sharing this, because Patty didn't know how to spell TPI when this traumatic brain injury when this first happened. And now she's the leading expert in the world.
I don't know about that.
Well, pretty close.
Yeah, well, if Nielsen's saying that, he's normally pretty accurate, Patty. So.
And no, I remember after 13 months of Cancer Cleanus, then they go to the University of Michigan, and then he goes back to Walter Reed, the old Walter Reed, to start rehab again.
Wow.
Yeah. It's difficult, though. Like, at Walter Reed, we have...
Okay, hold on. I want to ask you this. Oh. Patty, like, how have you held up? I mean, that is a ton of stress to deal with. You're dealing with, you know, your husband's care. You know, you're dealing with life and death stuff. You're dealing with the rest of his life stuff. Talk to me about how do you cope as a caregiver? Where does a caregiver go? Who takes care of the caregiver?
I mean, honestly, you really kind of have to take care of yourself. You really do. I mean, no one's really going to take care of you. So along the way, I try to do certain things as far as, you know, go to the gym. I love to play soccer. I still play. Every town we went to, I played on a soccer team just to have a release and get out and do something for myself. I think it helped for me to be planning, because I'm a planner, that next step. Always, we always had somewhere else to go and something to look forward to. I think, well, it helped both of us. And also, we just have we have great friends that supported us along the way. And the great people at Walter Reed, all the medical professionals that we came across were awesome. They were a big support to me as well as Pat. So it's just a lot of different things, but I think a caregiver, you gotta find a way to take care of yourself, because no one's gonna do it for you.
Well, and there is.
Patty went back to school. She did all sorts of things.
And there is no handbook. And there is no handbook for it. Bottom line, it's learning on the fly.
It's different.
It doesn't matter which branch of service. It doesn't matter whether you're officer or enlisted. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Dealing with this traumatic brain injury has got a whole series of issues. And you can look at two patients that you think they got the same head injury, and they're completely different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think, too, you need to do what's best for your family and what you feel comfortable with and where you can thrive, why I went to these places. The military is great. It's a huge institution. You can get lost. And it's not always the best answer. And they're not always going to provide everything for you. You need to be in a place that makes sense for you. And that's, like, why we went to Chicago. I went to the Tampa VA, and I just couldn't see myself there somehow and being okay. So I think that that's another thing, that to be proactive in the recovery and where you go and where you're going to end up.
And people can't see Pat and Patty right now, but Pat's not sitting there in a wheelchair. He goes skiing with Patty. They go sailboating. They do all sorts of things. They take vacations with the family. Pat participates in the Army 10-miler. You've been doing that how long, Pat?
I've done it for 7 years.
That's on a hand crank bike, which the Boston Marathon doesn't allow.
Which they got.
Throw that in, Michael.
I knew. He can't resist. He can't contain himself sometimes. The my guests today are Pat Horan and his courageous, intrepid wife, who's been by his side since he was shot in the head in Iraq in 2007. Bob Nielsen, who introduced me to both of them, is on with us as well. So Patty, let me. What advice do you have for caregivers along two lines? One is you're thrown into this. You don't know shit about it. Okay? And you have an institutions, you have doctors, all these people that are supposed to know telling you what you're going to do. So I want to ask you about that first. And then I want to ask you about the caregiver piece. Give advice to them relative to being a caregiver, because that is no small amount of stress that you deal with. So talk to me about taking on those institutions and then about being a caregiver and give advice.
I think, I guess, getting Pat through rehab and recovery, I just always kept in mind that the main goal for us was just to get healthcare and good services for Pat. And I just kept within that box, and I felt like at the end of the day, even though I might have ruffled some feathers, people still respected us and worked for us to get Pat where he needed to be. So, you know, I think if you have the right intention, and here we have these guys who gave up almost everything for this country, and they deserve the best care. And as a caregiver, you shouldn't be afraid to ask for it. And we have, you know, it's your right, it's your husband's right to at least get medical care. And I think that's the advice. Never feel like you're asking for too much if you're asking for medical care and help in your husband's recovery. Because they deserve it, if nothing else.
Okay. All right. Talk to me about being a caregiver for the last 10 years. The first, how many of it would you say are just intense every day? How many years till you guys got to something that wasn't as intense as what you initially lived through?
Probably 5 years until he was really retired.
Okay.
Breathe easy and understand what the rest of our life was going to look like. It was pretty intense, and that was our focus for 5 years.
So for 5 years, good God. I mean,
5 years of a long life. You know, that's what they kept telling me. 5 years will make all the difference for the rest of your life. And I believe that. So I think it was worth it. But the hard part, honestly, is transitioning out of that crisis mode. And a lot of the caregivers that I talk with, this is really difficult. Like, how do you get out of the crisis mode every day and move to a more normal living? It's very difficult. And, you know, I talked to Bob that I've actually gotten myself a life coach, which has been helping me understand how to live a more balanced life. Okay. Every day is not an emergency, and it's been helpful to go talk to somebody to help me understand when I need to jump in and when I can do things for myself. So I would say any caregiver struggling with balance should go think about getting a life coach.
No, you know what? That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, can we take another break? And when we come back, I want to talk about what you guys are doing now. Because what's cool about these interviews I love them, but you don't do them on every radio show because other people don't live the life that we've lived and go down the road that you've gone down. And so, first of all, thanks for doing this today. So you mind us taking one more break, and then we'll come back and do about 15 minutes, and then we'll let you go.
Alrighty.
Is that all right? Yeah, Pat, you're going to get to talk too, but your better half had to steal the show there for a little bit, so appreciate your patience. We're going to take a quick break. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug, 10-pound block of aluminum, milled, machined, and anodized into a mug with Picatinny rails on it. So you can scope it, you can put a light on it, anything you take to the field and put on a rail, you can put on your mug. A whole line of really cool gifts. Battlemug.com, great for any commemorative event, promotions, retirements, farewells, and any other special occasion. Use the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battlemug's a veteran-owned and operated company made entirely in the United States of America. So we're going to continue. That's just part of the story. The rest of the story is that you'll see a bunch of it is if you go to patsback.com, patsback.com. If you go to patsback.com, you'll see a whole bunch of things that they're involved with. So we'll introduce you to all that here in the next segment. So don't touch that dial. More of a great interview with two great Americans, the Horans. Here on a, and Nielsen's in there too, here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.